We're sitting here with Maria Guardado of MLB.com. And Maria goes back with me to February of being in the clubhouse down in Scottsdale. Carmen is here as well, and Allie too. So, Maria, unless you do something crazy in the next 2 weeks, and I don't know what it could be, but if you just, you know, throw strikes and do your job, I honestly will tell you, I think you're going to be named Rookie of the Year. Now, Kerry was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. Alex was about 5 years ago. And Carmen is sort of the comeback player of the year. She gets the Tyler Rogers Award,
the submarine award,
right,
maybe,
for longevity and you know, for having a great season. But you could be Rookie of the Year, the media Rookie of the Year. How about that?
Yeah, that's really flattering to hear, Marty. I actually wasn't even aware that there was this award until yesterday, so now I'm a little nervous. So hopefully that won't affect my performance over the last 2 weeks of the season, but, you know, we'll see. Hopefully I'll be able to close it out.
Well, there was competition. Shayna Rubin was here for a while, and Julie Parker is here for a while. Julie was here last year, so she's really a sophomore. But it is a lot of fun to do this and then sort of designate somebody, because all our rookies of the year go on to have great careers.
Yeah, it seems like it's a harbinger of success. So, you know, I'm flattered to hear that I'm in the mix.
Don't do anything crazy now.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Looking forward to the trip to Boston and Atlanta.
So I actually don't have the pleasure of going to Boston this year, but I will be in Atlanta. But I'm actually a little bummed to not be going to Fenway, especially since it seems like there's going to be a lot of really cool storylines to kind of follow going into that series.
Carmen, one, and Adam, I'll get you in 1 second here. Chris Shaw is a story.
Yeah.
And he's going to Boston. Did you know they're going to do something for him in Boston?
They're doing a Chris Shaw Day I forget what date exactly it is, but they're going to honor him. And I guess he doesn't want to make a lot of fanfare out of it because he just doesn't like the attention. But you guys can hear more when we play that interview.
All right. Adam, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. You're on.
Oh, I'm on with Maria Guardado of MLB.com. Maria, how are you? It's good to talk to you again. I guess the question I've got, everybody talking about the trip to Boston, but for me, it's like they're going out to Boston and then Atlanta, who's going to be a playoff team, of course. But what does this mean? I mean, it's the final road trip for Bruce Bochy. I know he's been getting the send-offs from around the league, but we're in a situation now where it's kind of one big last party send-off on the road, it seems like, for the Giants.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, as I kind of alluded to, there are going to be still some really fascinating storylines as the Giants kind of head towards Boston, particularly. One is obviously Bruce Bochy is kind of aiming to get that 2,000th win of his career, which is obviously going to be a really huge achievement. And I think I'm sure he would have loved to do it at home, but I think he has a pretty good shot at either securing it in Boston or in Atlanta. So that's obviously going to be something that a lot of guys are probably going to be looking forward to. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys on the Giants teams who kind of have these weird Boston connections. You know, obviously Mike Yastrzemski is the big one. Chris Shaw is another big one. But also, I mean, Sean Anderson and Marisa Dubon, who you guys had on earlier, were obviously also former Red Sox prospects. Mauricio was telling me the other day that he's looking forward to kind of, you know, seeing some of his former teammates like Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi, and I think Devers is going to hook him up with some Dominican food, so I know he's excited about that. I think it's going to be a really interesting series. You know, obviously, while you know, the Red Sox kind of underachieved this year after winning the World Series last year, you know, they are still a pretty formidable team, so I think it's going to be a really good matchup, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Maria Guardado is with us from MLB.com, leading candidate for Rookie of the Year in the Media Award this year. You haven't seen what you get yet, so that's still to be determined.
Spoiler alert, it's nothing.
You got my hopes up, man.
I'm going to do some. No, this year we're going to do
some. What about Kerry and Alex and all the ones that preceded her?
Well, it's a different world today because we know baseballism. So, who knows? Maybe we'll get her a
baseballism
shirt.
Baseballism.
Baseballism, right. Okay.
Menez.
Right. I got Menez down. All right. Menez. Maria, Bumgarner, I want to talk about him a little bit because, you know, I was ready for him today. And, of course, to let the fans who are coming out here know that Bumgarner is pitching. But I'm just looking at the numbers for him. And I don't know if they get lost in the shuffle of 9-8. But here's a guy with 119 wins as a Giant. He's got a chance now to go past Matt Cain. He should have done it last week, but the bullpen got in the way. He's got 60 wins here at the home ballpark. But 188 innings for him, 172 hits, 26 home runs. But look, Carmen could hit a home run today if you put it over the plate.
That is true.
You could. Yeah, you could hit. But 39 walks, 184 strikeouts. In his career, 1,827 innings pitched, 1,775 strikeouts. And his whip is 1.12, lefties 195 against him. And he is going to be a free agent. And he is going to pitch, I'll guarantee, the last day of the season on Bochy's last day. Your thoughts about the season of Madison Bumgarner?
It's been really impressive to watch, you know, especially as he was a guy who was obviously coming off, you know, back-to-back injury-shortened seasons. So I think to see him kind of come back and have, you know, be basically the Bumgarner of old and kind of be the workhorse of a really young staff, I think was really key for the Giants. You know, obviously I think there's a bit of a psychological boost that the Giants get when they have Bumgarner on the mound. I think a lot of the players have kind of, you know, said that they're really confident that they're going to win on days that he goes out there and pitches. And I think that's really valuable for a team, especially, you know, one that has had kind of some stumbles from some of the younger starters, guys like, you know, Tyler Beattie and Logan Webb, who haven't been as consistent. So I think him and Justin Marja at the top of the rotation have been really pivotal for this team. And yeah, I mean, you know, the whole question about what his future will be is going to be a fascinating one to watch this offseason. It's going to be a really interesting call for Farhan Zaidi, you know, who obviously doesn't have as much history with Bumgarner as some of his predecessors did. So, you know, I think obviously Bruce Bochy's farewell is getting a lot of attention, as it should this final month. But, you know, I think someone who could also be on his way to a farewell could be Bumgarner if he doesn't come back. So, yeah, I mean, it's always fun to kind of see him out on the mound doing his thing. And, you know, his future is murky. So I think it's going to be a really interesting storyline for the Giants.
It is an interesting one. And Marty mentioned we just had Mark Sanchez on. And I'll ask you a question similar to what I had just asked him. And it's about this offseason. Where are they going free agency? I mean, Bumgarner, the obvious one they've got to figure out. You've got the potential of bringing Will Smith back. The Tony Watson situation is still up in the air. But I wonder, if they're going to go into free agency and look to add a piece, is it in the starting rotation? Is there another point of emphasis beyond the outfield maybe that you think they would go and try to address?
I think if they were to be big players in free agency, it would probably have to be for a rotation piece, whether it was bringing back Madison Bumgarner or maybe trying to go after some other free agent starter like, you know, Hyunjin Ryu or Garrett Cole. You know, I think that, you know, there will be questions in the bullpen just because, you know, Will Smith can obviously be a free agent. Tony Watson has a player option that he can decline. But I feel like one of the things that you've seen this month is that they actually have a pretty promising inventory of younger controllable arms, guys like, you know, Tyler Rogers, even Sean Anderson, who's been used out of the bullpen and has shown promise. So I feel like there probably isn't as much urgency to kind of go out there and, you know, bring in free agent relief arms as there is to address the rotation, which obviously has a lot more question marks. So I think that the rotation will probably be the priority for them. I'm not sure how active they'll be in terms of the outfield market, just because I feel like they have a really promising piece now with Mike Yastrzemski, and, you know, Kevin Pillar is going to be still under control next year. So I don't know if that's going to be as much of a priority as the rotation will be.
I'd love to talk to you a little bit about guys that aren't necessarily playing every day, maybe the coaches. I know that Bochy is obviously on his way out, and a lot of these guys are his guys. What is your sense around what Farhan is planning on doing with the coaching staff and people that have been kind of within Bochy's regime?
Yeah, I mean, we actually had a chance to ask Farhan a little bit about this earlier this week, and he kind of said that, you know, he's going to wait till the end of the season. He doesn't really want to, you know, considering the a lot of the coaches are still kind of in the day-to-day grind of the season, he doesn't really want to have those conversations until the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, typically when you see kind of a managerial change, there does tend to be a lot of turnover with the coaching staff. And I think that, you know, one of the kind of prevailing trends that you've seen around baseball is that, you know, typically, you know, in the past, when a manager came in, he would kind of hire, you know, people who he had these relationships with. But I think that a lot of front offices now kind of want to have a little bit more input in how and who they hire for these coaching jobs. So I feel like there's a good chance that you probably will see some turnover in that coaching staff. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of a sign of the organizational change that is probably going to be expected with the regime change.
Well, I know Farhan's going to interview people over this next week or so. Ron Wode is included, the professor, and I just can't believe that there would be a Giant team without Ron Wode as part of it in some way. So, of course, we think a lot of the professor, and I know they do too. And there's got to be that connection to San Francisco, so hopefully Woe will be part of it. But Mauricio Dubon was on with us earlier, and he sort of stole the show. And Carmen asked him a question. which was an interesting answer that he gave, and that is, of all the players he's played with, one who maybe is sort of somewhat under the radar, who's the one that impressed him the most? And he came up with a glowing recommendation for Jalen Davis. And, of course, up here, it's Jalen ground ball Davis. You know, everything the guy has done has been a ground ball. Then he got hit on the hand. But Mauricio says, we have not seen anything of Jalen Davis. Now, you talked outfield. How about Jalen Davis in the mix for that? I guess maybe spring training, he's got to go and have a big spring training.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. I mean, he's obviously someone who's kind of getting a little bit of a look before he got, you know, struck on the hand. And I think that's going to probably keep him out for a couple of days. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, wasn't a super high draft pick, but he's really kind of increased his stock with a monster year at AAA, and not just in the Pacific Coast League. Even when he was in the International League, he was really crushing it for the Twins affiliate that he was with. So, you know, I think the fact that he was able to kind of put up those numbers in a league that doesn't have, that didn't have, you know, that isn't as hitter friendly as the Pacific Coast League, kind of bodes well for what he could potentially offer this team in the future. You know, hopefully we'll get a chance to kind of see him come, you know, see a little bit more of what he really can do. You know, I think Bruce Bochy acknowledged that a lot of players kind of tend to press a little bit when they first come up here, just because they, you know, they really want to impress people. But I think that we haven't really seen all of his abilities yet, but I think that he's definitely someone who has the potential to be another piece of this outfield that, you know, could contribute down the line. So I think that that is also exciting for the Giants.
Okay. I think that's an interesting statement to make, because we've been in a situation this year where a lot of the Giants players have come up have been Farhan taking a look at what he's got, trying to sift through which players can be here beyond this season. And Jalen Davis, maybe to your point, we haven't seen all of the tools. Are there other guys that maybe we haven't seen enough of that can still be contributors? I'm thinking like maybe a Sam Selman or, you know, Sam Coonrod we've seen a lot of. Sean Anderson may be better suited out of the pen. But how many of these guys you think we have not seen enough of that will be back just because Farhan wants to take another look at their ability?
Yeah, and I think just to add to that mix, I would say Abiatal Avellino as well. I mean, he obviously had a really short look up here earlier this month and kind of made an unfortunate base running error and immediately got sent back down. But I think he's also someone who has the potential to kind of be a contributor in the middle infield going forward. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like he's also going to be in that mix of guys along with, you know, some of the bullpen arms who we've seen recently, like Tyler Rogers and guys like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a really key evaluation period right now for the Giants. You know, I think these final 2 weeks of the season will be really key in kind of allowing them to glean some insight in some of these players who could be part of their future. You know, you never know. You know, sometimes, you know, you'll see players kind of put up really impressive numbers in AAA, and for whatever reason, they can't replicate that success in the majors. So I think that, you know, they're really hoping that some of these younger players will kind of take that opportunity and run with it, you know, as you've seen with guys like Tyler Rogers. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there's still a lot of younger players who are auditioning for bigger roles, and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to take advantage of that.
One of my favorite parts of the end of the season is the Willie Mack Award. I think it really reflects on, you know, what the clubhouse is feeling, the pulse of the clubhouse, who has been that heart for them this season. I was actually curious if Pablo Sandoval could be in the running, despite him, you know, being out with his surgery, obviously. Another person I thought, maybe Stephen Vogt. What's your sense of who might get this award this year?
Yeah, I think Pablo definitely probably still has a chance. I mean, I'm not sure if the voting has taken place yet. I think it has.
Yeah, St. Louis, they told me they voted. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, he's obviously, you know, had a remarkable comeback to San Francisco. I mean, he obviously didn't leave on the best of terms, but I think he really did an amazing job of coming back and winning over not only the hearts of the fans, but also, you know, the players in the clubhouse. You know, I think he had to kind of issue a lot of apologies when he first came back, but I think that he was a really key presence and just keeping everyone positive and providing a lot of energy off the bench when he was still healthy. But, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that, you know, Vogt might actually be the front runner just because he's so popular among the players, and he's really done an impressive job considering he's coming off major shoulder surgery. And, you know, he kind of missed the initial months of the season as he kind of continued his rehab. But yeah, I mean, he's the pitchers all really like working with him. He's an endless source of positivity. So I think that, you know, if I had to guess, I think I would go Vogt, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, he had the best slogan, Vogt for Vogt. That's what he said.
I believe in Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, I like it. Now, the other thing he does, he's got the technical foul thing, you know, whenever they get
tee
on
up.
Base, tee him, you know, he does that thing. And also, he's got a good chance of being here next year. Because if Posey needs a backup, who knows what Posey's story will be next year, but Vogt may get more playing time. Aramis Garcia, I just don't know if they believe in him. Joey Bart's not going to be here next year. So Vogt probably does have a spot, and I know they like to give this award to someone who maybe can be a leader later on. So probably Stephen Vogt is the leader.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that the Giants are definitely going to try to keep him in the fold moving forward. He's really been a really valuable backup catcher for this team, and I'm sure he would love to stay. I mean, he obviously grew up a Giants fan and is from Visalia, so I mean, it's not a bad situation for him either.
Yeah, he can hit. Yeah. I can hit.
I mean, the Giants started the season with like a million catchers, and I was like, "What are y'all doing right now?" And it ended up that they shook out with Vogt, and I think he's, you know, like I always say, Nick Hundley was so good. I was like, he's the best backup catcher. And now that they have Stephen Vogt, I'm like, this guy is actually something.
And where Vogt came from, because look, in spring training, he couldn't throw from me to you. And they said, all right, in May, he'll be back. And in May, he sure was. He was up here in May, and he's caught, and he's thrown people out, and he's gotten hits. He's one of the pleasant surprises, so I'm on board with that. I think that's a good one. That could be a good one. Maria, thanks so much for being on, as always. Maria Guardado, MLB.com. And unless she does something crazy over the next 2 weeks, now you're not going to Boston, so we know you're not going to pull a Tim Hudson and, you know, have a party there the night before the playoff game. Like, who knows what happened back then? But enjoy Atlanta. We'll see you back here for Colorado and the Dodgers. And that last weekend after the Willie Mack Award, we do give out our award that last weekend. So
I'm anxiously awaiting the result.
Carrie Crowley will be presenting it this year.
Okay, I like that you told her she's up against no one, but she doesn't have it yet.
Well, you know, it's anything can happen. You got to be careful. All right. Great having you on. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. You're listening to Weekends in the Park here. We're in the bunker. Adam's out at the public house. We've got a lot of noise and music and great stuff going on back there.